say Connor is dead wrong. There's 24 hours in every day of the year, except for 2 days. Today is one of those days, and today there's 25 hours in the day, meaning we gained an hour, we did not lose an hour. Thank you. Okay. Now that that's passed, what did I just say? That's been a fun argument for quite a long time. When did that start? That started on a camping trip, right? One of our camping trips, we passed the time zone. Kind of like, no, we lose an hour, we don't gain an hour. He's crazy. Anyways, we're going to be in John chapter number 21. So if you'd grab your Bibles with me and turn to John chapter number 21. John chapter number 21. We're going to focus very, take a look very closely at Peter's life today. Mainly just the end of, not the end of his life, but this portion of his life during the time of Jesus' resurrection. And we're going to kind of look at that. So if you have your spot in John chapter number 21, we're going to begin reading in verse number 14. It says, "This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples. After that, he was risen from the dead. So when they had dined, Jesus saith unto Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And he saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him a third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he saith unto him a third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus said unto him, Feed my sheep. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girded thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee, and carry thee whither thou wouldest. This spake he, signifying what death he should glorify God. With what death he should glorify God. And when he had spake this, he said unto him, Follow me. We're going to pray and then we're going to get right into this. So let's pray and ask the Lord to bless his message. Our dear, precious Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much for everything that you do for us. Lord, we thank you so much for the love that you have for us. We thank you so much for your Son, who you sent to save us, Lord, who showed your love to us. Lord, I pray that you would help us tonight, Lord, that you would please just speak to hearts and lives tonight, Lord. I pray that you would just send your Holy Spirit to meet with us tonight. Lord, I pray that you would please just indwell me with your Holy Spirit. Lord, just please just speak through me, Lord. I just want to be used of you tonight. I pray that you please just give me the words to say. If there's anything in my notes that you don't want there, Lord, I pray that you'd please just help me to skip it, Lord, or pass over it. And I pray that I would just not say anything that you wouldn't want me to. Lord, we thank you again for everything that you do for us, Lord. We love you so much. I pray that you'd please just give us a good message tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. So we see here, obviously, it's a very familiar passage of Scripture. And we've no doubt heard many sermons preached from this. We've no doubt, like I said, heard this passage so many times. But I actually, this kind of all started when we were at Crown. And this was kind of almost, you could say, I don't know, I don't want to say a calling, but something that God just reminded me of when we were at, when we took the trip to Crown this a couple of weeks ago. And I couldn't get these verses out of my head, especially all the parts where it says, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me. I couldn't get that out of my head. And it just kind of rang and rang. And also the ending statement, feed my sheep. And so I kind of went back, and the next morning I kind of just read my Bible in that passage and kind of studied it out. And I began to look at Peter's life during this time. I began to kind of just focus mainly on Peter and what he would have been going through And the title of my message tonight is Simon, Son of Jonas. And it's kind of a strange title, but there's quite a bit of significance, which I'll get into later, of the fact that he used his name Simon, son of Jonas. And we're gonna kind of go into this, but I'd like to begin not where we started reading, but a couple chapters before that. And we're not going to turn there. I'm just going to kind of briefly go over what happened. And we all know that before this, Jesus was just crucified. But before that, when they were meeting in the room, Jesus, after he told the disciples what was going to happen to him, Peter, like he always did, stood up and said, "Lord, I'd never let that happen. I would die with you. Lord, I would never let you go to the cross. Lord, I would stand up for you. I would die for you." And Jesus put him in his place, of course, and told him, "Peter, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice." And we all know the story, how exactly what Jesus said, Peter, before the cock crew, he denied Jesus three times. And as I began to think about that, put yourself in the life of Peter. Imagine being Peter and always saying the wrong thing. Imagine being him and always stepping up, being the first to speak, and what he's saying sounds so great. "Lord, I'd die with you." And Jesus just said, "No, you wouldn't. Before the day's over, you're going to deny me thrice." And sure enough, exactly what Jesus said happened. Imagine being in Peter's position, saying that you would die for the Lord, and yet, before the cock crew, you denied him thrice. Three times. You completely denied Christ. And as I began to think about that, I just thought, what emotion would Peter be feeling during this time? Think about just how devastated you would be to realize that you just denied Christ three times. Not only that you denied him, but after you said, "I would die for you," then you deny him three times. I thought of the scripture, "No greater love hath any man than this, than the man lay down his life for his friend." And I thought what Peter was, not that what he was actually saying, but he was saying, "I'm willing to die for you." And God said that to be willing to die for someone, that's the greatest love you could possibly show. What Peter in a way was saying was, "I love you so much, God, that I'd be willing to die for you." And then he denied him three times. And then, of course, we know the story how Jesus was captured. He was put on trial. He was beaten. Barabbas was released instead of him, and of course, he went to the cross. And imagine being Peter in all the midst of this, saw Jesus on trial in the background, and yet he still denied him. He's right there. He can see Jesus, and he's still denying him. And so I can just imagine just watching your Messiah, your Christ. You have to think this was the very Son of God, and they knew it. This was their Messiah. This was the one who was supposed to restore Israel. And they knew the prophecies. They knew that Jesus was coming. And they knew that he was going to restore. They didn't understand that he wasn't going to restore his first coming, but that he was going to restore Israel his second coming. They didn't understand that. But that's what they were expecting. They were expecting this great king to come and to restore Israel. Imagine that man, the man you know is supposed to restore Israel, imagine him dying. The man that all of your hope, all of Israel's hope was upon, and they not only Israel denied him, but that was their hope, and the people who knew that he was the Messiah, well, now how is he supposed to restore his kingdom? And Jesus, I love the fact that Jesus told them everything that was going to happen. Jesus told them everything he was going to do, everything that was going to happen, but they didn't understand it. And so like I said, imagine Peter knowing that's your Messiah, knowing he's supposed to restore Israel, knowing all these things, and now he's dead. So we not only have the fact that he just betrayed God in a way, he just denied God, we not only have that emotion, but we have the emotion that his Messiah is now dead. He no doubt created a huge relationship with Jesus. He was no doubt very close to Him. And again, He was His Messiah. So He's grieving the loss of His Messiah. Imagine the emotion that would be going through Peter after denying Him 3 times and watching Him die. It would be devastating. It would be absolutely just heart-wrenching to watch. Not only because you're watching probably the greatest friend on earth you had at that time die, but you just denied that greatest friend you had. Imagine what that would feel like for just a second. Imagine, like I said, just the emotion, the grief, the pain, the loss, the conviction. All these emotions at once. And now he's gone. Now what? And 3 days pass. Imagine going 3 days. I don't know if you've ever done something really wrong where you've let someone down or you've let God down so wrong that you just have a grief. You have just a burden almost, a heaviness on you for days. Imagine that heaviness times 100. That's what Peter was going through. And 3 days passes. And they hear that the tomb's empty. Imagine that. They run to the tomb, and instead of thinking, which Jesus told them, our Lord is risen, no, they're thinking someone stole His body. And then Mary meets Jesus. Jesus reveals Himself to Mary and tells Mary, go tell the disciples. So she goes and tells the disciples, and what happens? They don't believe her. Our Lord's not risen. So we have all this emotion, and on top of all this emotion, he's no doubt doubting. That's fun to say. He's no doubt doubting His Messiah at this time. This was the one who, like I said, was supposed to restore Israel. Now he's dead. Now what? There's no doubt. Of course, the devil's going to take advantage and push doubt like crazy upon him during this time. He probably was doubting everything that Jesus had ever said. He was probably doubting the fact that Jesus was even the Messiah. Because how could your Messiah die? Imagine, like I said, just all these emotions. Imagine what he could possibly be thinking. And then Jesus appears in the room and standing in the midst of you. Wow. But as I began to think about it, and the Bible says in a couple different places, I kind of looked up all the different accounts and the different Gospels, and it says quite often that they went away rejoicing. And I could think, of course, that would be so happy, and I would be rejoicing, but it would be a bittersweet moment. Because yes, you're excited that your Messiah has returned, but what did you just do to your Messiah? The only disciple that stuck with Jesus through the whole thing was John, the beloved of God. That was the only disciple out of the 12 that stuck to God, or that stuck with Jesus. And Peter denied Him 3 times, just like Jesus said He was going to do. And so, like I said, no doubt they're excited that He's back, but how ashamed would you be to look Jesus in the face again after watching what He just went through, after watching Him suffer the way He did? Imagine looking Him in the face and saying remembering that you denied Him 3 times. Imagine just that heaviness. Imagine just that grief, that pain. And then Jesus reveals Himself a second time to the disciples. The first time, Timothy wasn't there. There was only 10. And the first time He revealed Himself, there was only 10. And the second time, Timothy's there. And again, the Bible says, I believe it's in Luke, that they went away rejoicing. But still, think again. Yeah, you're rejoicing because He's alive. But you couldn't help but remember what you did. You have to think that was only the Bible, I believe it's in Luke. I didn't write the reference down. I apologize for that. But the Bible says that it was 8 days in between the first time He revealed Himself to the disciples and the second time. So it's 8 days later. You're still, like I said, it would be an emotional roller coaster in a way. Because yes, you're so excited that he's back. Well, one, then he leaves again. And now what? But then also, like I said, remember what he had just done to Jesus. Then we come to our passage of Scripture here in verse number 14. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead. So this is the third time that Jesus, we don't know what the time period is between the second appearing and the third appearing, but we do know that in verse number 3, if you look under 3, we see Peter's famous saying, "I go a-fishing." It says, "Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a-fishing." And we see that the rest of the disciples followed him and went fishing with him. I've heard a lot of speculation. I'm kind of making speculation here myself, too, about why he said that. I've heard people say that the reason he decided to go fishing is because he didn't know what else to do. He was just waiting for God's calling in a way. I've heard that preached. But what I believe, and again, this is just speculation, but what I believe is that he was still down. He was still out of it. He still couldn't bear the fact that he just forsook his Messiah. He still couldn't bear the fact that he just denied Jesus. Not once, not twice, but 3 times. And then Jesus reveals himself to him again. And we know the story. He's standing on the Jesus was standing on the shore and asked them if they had any meat, asked them to cast their net. And they bring in so much fish. And then Jesus said, "Come and dine." And so they come to the shore. And as far as we can tell, Peter was off by himself. And Jesus came to him in verse number 15. "So when they had dined, Jesus saith unto Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these?" Imagine what that question would have felt like. And this is kind of the main focus I'm going to be emphasizing on. I see 3 things in this message, and we're going to go over each of them. We see Jesus' question, and that's my first point. We see Peter's answer, and that's my second point. And then we see Jesus' response. And we're going to kind of look at these side by side. We're going to go through them one at a time. Thank you, Ellie. But first of all, we see Jesus' question to Simon. He says, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? Lovest thou me more than these?" And I don't know how much study any of you have done in this passage, but there are a couple different words used for love here in this passage. And the word that Jesus uses and the word that Peter uses are 2 different words. The word that Jesus uses is, I'm going to have a hard time pronouncing this, it's agapeo. Agapeo. Agapeo love. And that love is a very deep, genuine love. It's not like, "Oh, I love this cookie." No, that's not the right love. It's, "I love my wife." It's a very deep, deep love. A very deep, caring love. So we see Jesus' question, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? Now, I'm not sure what the "these" are in this sentence, but it kind of could apply to any area. Peter had just said, "I go a-fishing." Maybe Jesus was referring to the fact that Peter basically just left and went fishing. That could very well be it. And there could be so many other things that Jesus was talking about. But needless to say, he was asking Peter if he loved him more than he loved the world. "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these?" Whatever the "these" he was talking about is, he was asking him, "Do you love me more than it?" And we could all think of the "these" in our lives, the many things in our lives that we put above God. What are the "these" Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He's asking Peter if he loves me more than things, more than whatever Peter is putting above him. And then we see Peter's response. Still in verse number 15, he saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. Now the word love here, where Peter says, thou knowest that I love thee, this love is a different love. It's not the agapeo. It's the, I'm going to have a problem with this one too, filio, I would pronounce it. Filio. It's the filio love. This love is not a deep, genuine love. It's not a strong, just, like I said, deep love. It's a very, like you would love a friend. Or you would, you could almost use the word like. And I'm not trying to change scripture, but I'm just trying to give other words that are similar to it. It's a different type of love. It's not as deep. It's not as strong. It's like you'd love a friend. And it's almost like Peter could be saying, Yea, Lord, you know that I love you like a friend. And that was Peter's response. And I thought about this. I thought, why would Peter not answer, I love you agape love? Why would he not answer, I love you? Why would he not just use the same word? And as I began to think about it, how could he? After what he just did to Christ, after betraying Christ like he just did, how could he possibly say to Jesus, I love you? Could you? Could you, after betraying Jesus, look him in the face and say, Yeah, Lord, I love you very deeply? Wow. I doubt it. I guarantee we would have the same response as Peter. With our head down, we would be like, Well, Lord, I like you as a friend. Peter just said he would die for Christ. That's the deepest kind of love you could show, to die for someone. That's what he said he would do. And he just ate his words. And then Jesus asked him, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? Not only did he ask him that question, but the name, which I said was how he referred to him, Simon, son of Jonas, is that was his old name. Jesus changed his name to Peter. Jesus changed his name to the rock, or a rock, a small rock. That's what Jesus changed his name to. I say unto you, Simon, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I shall build my church. He changed his name to Peter, and I begin to think about that also, imagine how proud you would be to have your name changed by the very Son of God. Imagine what that would make you feel like. Wow, he's calling me a rock. Imagine that. But here Jesus doesn't refer to him as Peter. He refers to him as his old name, Simon. If it isn't enough that he just betrayed Christ, if it isn't enough the guilt he's feeling, Jesus comes to him and instead of calling him Peter, he calls him Simon. My old self, Simon, son of Jonas. And then he says, love thou me. It's almost like a stab in the back. And these words just rang so heavy on my heart as I began to think about it. Imagine hearing Jesus say, Simon, referring to your old person, your old you. Do you love me? How could he possibly say to Christ, Yeah, Lord, I love you? No. But he not only says that once, he asks him the same question again. Verse number 16, he says, And he saith unto him again the second time, Simon, again his old name, son of Jonas, lovest, and that's the strong love, that's the deep love, do you love me? Lovest thou me? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest I love thee. And that's the small love, that's the friendship love. He said it not once, but twice. Imagine getting asked that question by Jesus after what you just did. And then him walking away. You'd be like, well, that was convicting, but he didn't. He asked him again. Simon, do you love me? And a second time wasn't bad enough. He says it a third time in verse number 17. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Now, interestingly enough, the love here that Jesus just said, this was not the strong, deep love. This was not agapeo love. This was filial love. This was the friendship love. Jesus, the third time, didn't ask him, do you love me very deeply? No. He said, Peter, do you even love me as a friend? Imagine that. Jesus isn't just doubting that he loves him. Do you even love me as a friend, Simon? Do you even love me as a friend, Simon? And continuing in verse 17, it says, Peter was grieved because he said unto him a third time, lovest thou me? And I've also heard people say that he was grieved in other words, he was upset, and I always pictured as he was angry. He was like, God, you know that I love. That's how I always pictured it, but after I began to think of it again, I don't think that's the case. The word grieved doesn't mean angry. The word grieved means sorrowful. It means convicted. Imagine your gut just turning as Jesus asked you, do you even love me as a friend, Simon? Do I even mean that much to you? Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. And that's talking about the small love. And Jesus said unto him, feed my sheep. Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? I always had this so backwards in my mind. But the more I thought about it, the more I just felt the heaviness of this conversation. Simon, do you love me? Simon, do you love me? Simon, do you even like me? But he didn't just ask a question, and Peter didn't just answer. He gave a command. He gave a response at the end of each time he asked it. The first time he said, feed my lambs. The second time he said, feed my sheep. And the third time he said, feed my sheep. And I thought about what was Peter doing during this time? He wasn't out fishing for men like Jesus wanted him to be doing. What was he doing? He was fishing for fish. He went back to his old life. He didn't know what else to do. He had just betrayed the very Son of God. He no doubt felt worthless, unworthy. But the greatest thing about this story is it doesn't end here. Because after this conversation, we see the biggest change in Peter's life. We see him become one of the greatest preachers in the world. He followed the command to feed my sheep. Now Jesus gave the command to him, feed my sheep. And what he was referring to was not, he was referring to Jesus was sent to the lost sheep of Israel. He was sent to Israel. And that's what he was telling Peter. Peter was also sent to Israel. He was sent to God's chosen people. And he was telling Peter to feed his sheep. But God gives us a different command. Because we're not just sent to Israel, we're sent to the world. We're sent to go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's where we're sent. And I kind of just want to reflect on the conversation that he had. And imagine yourself in that situation. Because the truth is, we are in that situation. The truth is, that is our life. Whether we want to admit it or not. Simon Peter. Lovest thou me more than these? Can we honestly say tonight that we love God like we should? And I feel like a broken record because I feel like every time I preach the same message. We need to love God more. But I always preach this message because that's what God's always working in my life. And to put my name in there, Garrett, do you love me? Lovest thou me more than these? Do you love me? If we're honest tonight, we probably couldn't answer, Lord, I love you. But we might say, Lord, you're a friend to me, though. I love you like a friend. Well, Jesus asked that question, too. Do you love me like you're my friend? How has your walk been with Jesus lately? Is he truly your friend? Is he truly a friend that sticketh closer than a brother? Is he truly your friend? Because many times I don't feel like we can even say that. Many times, Peter was at least able to answer that the last time. He was at least able to answer that. Can we answer that? Do we love God? Again, I've said this so many times, the first commandment is love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. That's the first commandment. And upon that one commandment hangs the rest of the law. If we could follow that one commandment, we wouldn't have to worry about stealing, because we wouldn't steal. If we truly love God the way we do, stealing is not even an option. And you can go down the list of all the commandments. Jesus summed them up in two. Love the Lord thy God and love thy neighbor as thyself. But if we're truly loving God like we should, we're going to love our neighbor. Because we're going to obey God. But we do it so backwards constantly. And I feel like so many times we're in Peter's position like he was before. Lord, I would die for you. If we won't even live for Christ, how can we die for Christ? If we won't even surrender our life to do whatever He wants every day of our life, how would we die for Him that day? I feel like we'd be just like Peter. And when the time actually came, when people were actually pointing their fingers at you, hey, that man was with Jesus, what would we say? Yeah, I'm with Jesus, I'm still willing to die for Him. I doubt it. I know I wouldn't. Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Do you love me, Simon? Do you love me? Do you like me as a friend? How much do you love me? And he gives a statement at the end of each one, feed my sheep. That right there proves our love for God. Because if we truly love God, we'd be doing what He commanded us. He commanded Peter to feed my sheep. He commands us to preach His word. If Peter was truly loving God like he should, he would be going witnessing. As soon as he realized that Jesus rose from the dead, he would go preaching God, preaching that Jesus is risen. But no, I go fishing. He didn't want to preach God. After what he just did to Christ. Like I said, imagine how unworthy you would feel. But the truth is, he should have felt that way from the beginning. Because the truth is, he was unworthy from the beginning. And I feel like so many times in our life, we feel like we have to be in a perfect relationship with God to serve him. We feel like we have to do things right so we feel worthy, but that's so wrong. We're not worthy. Peter finally realized the main problem with his life was he didn't love God like he should. The main problem he had, the main reason he spoke up always and said the wrong thing was because he was focused in the wrong place. Because he wasn't focused on what God wanted, he was focused on what he seemed right in the eyes of man. It wasn't time for Jesus to restore Israel to its glory. But that's what Peter wanted. And so I would never let Christ die. I would die with you. Careful. Ask yourself tonight. Would you be willing to die for Christ? But don't be like Peter. Don't just answer without thinking like he did. Oh, Christ, I would die for you. Be careful, you might eat your words. Because if persecution actually came, where would you be? Would you be with the Johns? Would you be following Jesus all the way to the cross? Standing there with Mary as Jesus dies? Or would you be where Peter was? Off in the distance, trying to hide himself and denying Christ. I feel like if we're truly honest with ourselves, we're not going to be with the Johns. Out of 12 disciples, one of them was a devil, and only one of them was faithful to the cross with Christ. Now, after his resurrection, I truly believe that all of the disciples were martyred for Christ. And I truly believe that Peter was willing to die for Christ eventually. But it wasn't until he came to this point in his life where Jesus said, Simon, do you love me? And if you do, feed my sheep. There's a test for you right now. Do you love Christ? Or are you feeding his sheep? Are you telling others about Christ? Are you witnessing? Well, that right there should show us how much we love Christ and what we'd be willing to do for him. Peter wasn't. He was fishing. He was doing what he wanted to do. But like I said, it wasn't the end of the story. It wasn't the end of Peter's life. Because you can read on and you can see everything Peter accomplished. Because he simply learned surrender his life and to love God. The main purpose in his life changed into I just want to please God. I just want to love him. I just want to serve him. It was no longer about restoring his kingdom. It was no longer about being next to Christ in heaven. It was no longer about all these things that he wanted. He realized how little he loved God. And he determined in his life to love God. And we can see, like I said, just the change throughout his life. Jesus ends in verse 19. Follow me. After this conversation, after everything he just asked Peter, after all the emotion that Peter would have felt during this conversation, Jesus says, follow me. The same words that he said to Peter at his first calling, follow me. That's Jesus' calling for us today. Just follow me. We get so caught up in serving that we leave God out of it. We do it completely backwards. We try and witness and love people, but we don't try and love God. But if we were to reverse it, if we would just love God, we would automatically love people. We wouldn't have to try. We spend our whole life working towards Sunday. We spend all day Saturday in preparation. We have Sunday school lessons. And all these things for people on Sunday. But do we love God? Yeah, we serve Him. Yeah, we're faithful to church. But do you love God? Because if not, well, you're doing it backwards. This is the wrong way. This is in reverse. The Bible didn't start with thou shalt not covet. He didn't go through backwards and end with thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. No. But that's what we do. Oh, I can't steal. Oh, I can't do this. Oh, I can't do that. I have to do this because I'm expected to do this in church. I have to do this. I can't do that. I have to do this. And the last thing on our list is, oh, and I need to love God. What? No wonder our country's in a mess. No wonder we have no true walk with God. Because we don't love Him. There's no love in our life for God. I'd ask yourself, don't ask yourself the question, do I love God? Ask yourself the question, do I even like Him? It's convicting. It truly is. Do I love God? Probably not. Do you like Him? Oh. We wouldn't want to say probably not then. We want to say, yeah, I like God. Are your actions proving it? How many souls did you witness to this week? How many people did you tell about Christ this week? How many brothers and sisters in Christ did you do your best to encourage? To lift them up. That should prove how much we like God. Because I don't even think we like God anymore. We serve Him because that's what's expected. But do we love Him? This is what God has been just burdening me with so much. And it's been going on for quite a long time. It's been going on for months. Just do you love me? Do you love me? It seems like every time I get in the Bible, it seems like every time I read, I see how much God loves me. And it's almost like then He wakes me up and says, okay, now this is how much I love you. This is what I've done for you. Do you love me back? This is what I've given you. We take so many things for granted. You've probably all heard the statement, anything short of hell is God's grace. I've ever actually considered that. Anything short of hell is God's grace. Think about that for a moment. Think about everything that we have that is not even close to hell. Living on this earth is not close to hell. That's the grace of God. He's so good to us. We don't deserve that. And what do we do in return? Oh, well, I show up on Sunday morning, Sunday night. Oh, I show up on Wednesday night. Oh, I run a bus ministry. Oh, I teach a Sunday school class. Oh, I clean the church. Congratulations, you're serving Him. But what's the reason behind it? What are your motives for serving Christ? Do you truly love Him? Imagine what God can do in our life if we would just learn to love Him. Imagine, look at what He did in Peter's life. Just because Peter learned to love God. And I realize we'll never reach the point where we love God with every part of our being, with all of our heart, with all of our soul. But we can try. And if we're going to try and do anything, that should be what we aim for. That should be our goal in this life, is to love Him more. To love God. I'm going to sing a song with you. If you would grab your hymnals. And turn with me to page number 376. This has really become my favorite song this year. It's a song, More Love to Thee. I don't know how many of you know this song, but if you know it, sing along. If not, just listen. Listen to the words of this song.
More love to Thee, O Christ, more love to Thee.
I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet.